Cape Talk.
Food.
Well, if you love Mediterranean and Middle Eastern flavours, then chances are you may already have discovered a little gem of an eatery in Brea Street called Olami. And if you haven't, well, you need to get yourself there, firstly. But secondly, you can pick up a copy of the new Olami cookbook, which has been released by owner Nerit Saban. And it is packed with recipes which fuse her favourite international dishes with very easy-to-access local ingredients and very easy-to-master techniques. It's the kind of book you page through and don't go, wow, I'd never make that. You pick it up and think, wow, I'm going to try that for dinner tonight. It's that kind of book. It's such a pleasure to welcome Nerit to the studio. I think we last chatted when Olami was going by the name of Sababa, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay, so welcome back.
Thank you.
The name may have changed, but the emphasis remains the same. It's wholesome, healthy, fresh food and bold flavours.
Totally. Okay. Simple homestyle vibes.
Tell us a bit about your story with food. I mean, where did the love affair begin?
Well, gee, that's quite, it seems, I wrote it in the introduction of the book that it probably happened the day I was born, because I don't really remember the specific moment when all of a sudden it just became, you know, what it is today. But it has just been a natural progression and something I always felt comfortable doing, because both my parents are quite big cooks at home, and always just been helping out, and food has always just been the number one thing that we've always celebrated and come together with and shared love with. So it's from as early as I can remember, which is childhood. It's just a natural feeling that I've got for it, yeah.
So I always ask our guests about that one dish that reminds them of childhood, that you remember cooking, perhaps cooking with your mum or dad or in the kitchen, or which was the dish which was your dish for special occasions that you asked for on your birthday. If I was to ask you that question, what would you say?
Oh, that's difficult, because I must say I love everything my mum always used to cook back in the day, and even now when we go and visit. But I would say the one that I always remember is when I used to come back from traveling, that I always felt I always craved, was her chickpea stew that she makes with turmeric and fresh coriander and a little bit of paprika. We've actually got that in the first Sababa cookbook, that recipe. That's always something that I always, that she makes that I absolutely love. And I always just feel like, oh, that's home, you know, all that warmth and depth is there. And then every now and then also she'll make like these little dumplings that she actually puts into that stew as well, which is just from a very basic semolina and flour with a little bit of egg, salt and pepper, and just these like stodgy dumplings with that chickpea coriander stew, something that just feels, yeah, it just warms my heart up and feels like home.
Okay, know? That sense of your love of food, your passion for flavor is oozing out of this book, which I have to also mention is so beautifully photographed that you want to lick the pages. Who actually did the shoot for you?
Thanks. The photographer was Uncle Lutz. And the styling I did, and we did it very casually. We shot it over 3 months, and we shot most of the stuff at the shop. So as we were cooking for the shop, we set up a little studio at the back, and the dishes that we actually gave, that we presented in the book, we actually served for lunch that same day. Okay. So it was quite an organic experience, and it was an awesome first book to do together, and yeah, so far so good. It's been amazing.
Okay, now let's talk a bit about the shop and what you're serving, because that's very much what obviously infuses the book. What brought about the change from Sababa to Olami? Did you change the concept, or was it just time for a refresh?
Yeah, basically the concepts, it's not really, hasn't changed dramatically, even though there's a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of differences. It's just that we started Sababa together, my sister started Sababa, and then we started the second shop together, and they just grew both independently, supplying each side with a slightly different style. So we just about 2-3 years ago decided we would split them and become independent and cater to the needs that are being demanded in the areas, we thankfully, luckily, both at full capacity, and we both still work together with some things. We don't actually, the companies don't work together, but we're sisters and we share everything, and we've got a very good close relationship, and now the name means global, universal, worldly. So we're basically just going onto a very open menu, not having actually any style, and rather having just a very open backbone, and just letting anything kind of come into the mix. But specifically my travels being a massive inspiration, and then using that inspiration to come onto the table, which has been Yeah, awesome. The customers seem to love it every time I come back from Vietnam or India or Japan, and then some flavor comes onto the table. Yeah. So it's one big sharing experience. Yeah.
Okay, well, you've answered. Sue had sent an SMS saying, I love Olami salad, sir, but please tell me what the story is behind the name. So again, it's that global, universal feel.
Yes.
And you can see that in the book. You'll be paging through very typical Middle Eastern recipes like the chickpea stew, like a hummus and falafel, and then suddenly there's a Thai salad in the middle of the book, and all I wanted to do is eat all of them because you make it. I mean, you've obviously put a focus on making celebrating dishes that are easy to make, that
Definitely.
The average user will be able to master.
Exactly, because that's what I had in mind when I was writing the book as well, and also putting all the recipes together, was I could make a book for chefs, I could make a book for the real technical, you know, style people, but is that something that I know, like, because we do a lot of catering, so we have a lot of orders, and I know what people ask for. So I thought, let me do something that even our basic customer would want to cook, and I know that they wouldn't even order, even though they would order from us, they would also have the recipe there to make at home on the weekends, because we only open Monday to Friday. So yes, the idea was to make it extremely simple, and to start off simple, and as the volumes go, then we'll become a little bit more technical, and maybe a little bit more like for the chefies. But mm-hmm. I can't, even though I'm a chef by degree, if you want to call it a degree, because I don't think you actually become a chef like that. It comes with time and experience. I do consider myself more of a cook, and I love home style cooking is my favorite. I always find those are the dishes and memories I always remember, actually. Mm. And those are the ones I want to like reinvent and recreate and use that energy to bring into the business. So for me, it's all about simple, also sticking to nature as much as possible and really doing as little as possible, and rather highlighting the ingredients that are actually right there in front of you, you know, not the idea that you have, and rather, just what's there.
One thing that jumped out at me was a very big emphasis on celebrating veggies and grains and pulses. There is, don't think this is a vegetarian book. There are meat dishes, there are chicken dishes, there are fish dishes, which also look divine. But they're sort of almost an afterthought. Yeah. There are masses of chapters on wonderful things with vegetables that are just a hero all on their own. Is that very deliberate, that you'd like to see people eating that way?
It's not really my idea of how other people should eat, even though I think we should, actually. I mean, but I can't tell people how to eat. But there's so many, we've got the best produce here in Cape Town and in South Africa in general. Mm. They really, once I order like whatever is possible, and once we even get to the meaty section, I don't see it necessary, to be honest. You get all your goodness out of your fruit and veg and lentils and all your proteins from there. From black beans alone, you get 3 times more protein than from any animal that you could ever eat. And yes, I do feel that I am a lot more conscious these days to sticking to nature as opposed to against nature. And naturally also I've seen our customers dishing up mainly vegetables. Even guys or girls that were usually only eating the meat and 3 sides are actually now only going for vegetable options, because we're actually making a nice selection of it and showing you what's possible. And I don't think it's necessary these days, the amount of meat that we eat, we need to cut down. But that's other people's decisions to make. I can't, I'm not telling anyone what to do. I'm just offering a wider selection and showing you that, look, you don't need to eat meat. Yeah.
You make it very easy to make the right choice, effectively, by serving vegetarian food that looks absolutely mouthwatering. Totally. That would convince even a complete meat addict.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple of questions coming in on our SMS line and WhatsApp. Firstly, somebody asking, is Olami halal?
No, it isn't halal, but we don't cook with pork or seafood. So, and if you want it for catering to order halal meat, we can definitely order it in especially, but our kitchen is not halal authorized or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. And then somebody's saying, I'm drooling listening to this. Where can I get a copy of the cookbook? It's in
phenomenal.
All the big bookstores already,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, Exclusive Books, Wordsworth. Also at our shop, we have stock at 231 Bree Street. There's
okay.
A But Jacana Media is the publishing company. They can always contact them directly and find out which store in their area might have
has
one
got
closest
stock.
To
That's
them.
A good idea. Yeah. Okay. Now, you've mentioned your travel several times. It's clearly something that fuels your imagination and your recipe development. And I know it's going to be like asking you to choose probably between your favorite children. But if you had to say the best meal I've had in a particular country, or maybe a handful of meals that were the most memorable that have really had an impact on you and influenced the way you cook? What would you pick out?
Sure, that is a toughie, because I've been doing a lot of Southeast Asia and Asia in general for the past 3 years. And I would say the one that is actually jumping up in my mind, because if I think about it, I was in an island in Thailand and it was about 40 degrees, but there was this little guy on a tuk-tuk who made the most delicious soup with rice noodles and spring onion and holy basil and lots of chili. And I was totally addicted to that. I would go once a day if it wasn't lunch or dinner and have the soup and actually like almost be sweating over the soup. It's so hot.
Yeah.
But the flavor, unbelievable. The style in which they present it, and how busy he was all the time. From the moment I saw him, like early in the day, I'd go late at night, and he was just, you know, just missioning all around. And the whole energy behind how they do everything as well, they're masters at their trade. So it was just so enticing. I mean, I think it was more than just the soup, eating it. But yeah, I would say, and also the ramen in Japan, I think I am quite a big of a soupy, because it's everything in one bowl with the noodles and the broth and the little bit of veg. It's like, what more do you need? And it feels like everything is okay after that.
Okay. We've got a caller on the line with a question for you, so I'm going to ask you to pop your headphones on, Neritza, cool, so that you can hear. If you've just joined us late to the conversation, my guest in studio is Neritza Bun, who has produced this beautiful cookbook, Olami, Simple, Nourishing, Fresh. It has grown out of Olami, the restaurant that many of you already know about and love to eat at Brea Street. Jenny in Tableview, thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Thanks, Pippa. I'd like to say that in years gone by, we used to throw pumpkin pips away. Now we pay for them.
Yes.
I want to know if pawpaw pips can be dried, roasted, and eaten.
That's a really good question.
It is a brilliant question, because pawpaw pips are extremely healthy for you, actually. They act as like a detoxer in your body. They actually promote people to eat the pips even raw. I've never heard about roasting them or taking the little nut inside of them. That I don't know about. But I know the pips alone are extremely nutritional for you. And if you eat that just raw as it is, it's really nourishing. But I've never actually roasted them and taken the little nut out. But I can try it and let you know next time.
That sounds like a good... You've given her a challenge to work on, Jenny. Have you ever tried to eat them raw yourself?
Yes, I have. They've got a lovely peppery taste. Mm. And I'm sort of a little bit loath to throw them away, but, you know, everything in moderation.
Absolutely. Jenny, I'm going to have to go home and try a pawpaw seed. I've also really just been dishing them out and tossing them out my whole life. I've never even stopped to think that they might be edible.
Totally.
You've really given us, pardon the pun, some food for thought there, Jenny.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Another question coming in from somebody who says, I must ask you about making hummus. This is Aliyah saying, I want to make my own hummus, but tahini is expensive. Can you bypass it?
Oh, sure. That's a bit of a... I'm all for experimenting and using alternatives, but the tahina is almost just as important as the chickpeas. So I would rather... treat yourself and just stock up on the tahina and make it as a treat every now and then. You can make it without. It won't have that nutty flavor then that the tahina adds to it, and also the texture of it. But you can totally make it all the ingredients without it. It would just have more of a chickpea, lemony, cumin-y. Like, you can maybe add some more herbs or something inside of there just to jazz it up a bit. But the tahina is essential, and if you want, we actually sell tahina at our shop. We bring it in from Israel, and it costs 200 rand a litre for the regular one and 250 rand for the organic one. Otherwise, yeah, I know Wellness has Spa and Checker, the Sea Point ones have stock of it.
Okay, you don't need that much of it. I mean, it is an essential flavour, but you don't have to have masses of it, if
no.
I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think
so. How long would a bottle like that last for?
Quite a long time. Yeah, and you don't have to refrigerate. You can keep it in a dark, like a pantry or anything like that. And it's an oil, basically, so it will live probably at least a year, but I'm sure you'll finish it by the time it expires.
And you'll be licking the inside of the bottle.
Yeah,
as
and you
well.
Can make so many different things with that paste. I mean, you could even turn it into like an Asian, instead of using peanut butter, you use sesame. You can make like
Sassé,
a sesame.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. Or you can do, I mean, radical things, even with baking, just put a swirl of that into your cake and you just add the sesame nutty flavor in. You can make icing. things with it. I mean, tahina is, I would keep it in your cupboard as an essential. It's like golden oil, if you ask me.
Okay, so worth investing in. Definitely. Aliyah is the bottom line. Okay. It's been an absolute delight to have you with us, and I can't wait to get stuck into cooking from this book. It is one of those that is definitely being kept in my collection and will not go to anybody else near it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks
and
for having me.
I hope our listeners are going to flock to come and visit you at Olami. They're open Monday to Friday from 8 until 4 at 231 Brea Street. And I'm told that anybody who works nearby doesn't have to bother about taking lunch to work, because it's a given that they come to you for lunch. So I hope we're sending a few new customers your way.
Right. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's a great, great pleasure. Please look for the book Olami, published by Jacana Media. It's retailing at around about 330 Rand a copy.